I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Here's an illuminating book on the relationship that sisters have with one another. I'm an only child, yet I found the book fascinating. It's already a New York Times bestseller. You were always mom's favorite, sisters in conversation throughout their lives. It's published by Random House, and its author joins me from Toronto this day. Deborah Tannen is a professor of linguistics at Georgetown and frequently appears on radio and television. Her previous books, You Just Don't Understand and You're Wearing That, were a huge bestseller. She's the youngest of three sisters. I'm pleased to welcome to the Planta Online program Deborah Tannen. Good morning, Professor Tannen.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
I'm so pleased to be here.
I'm an only child. You have two older sisters.
Right.
And I'm wondering sometimes for myself, am I missing something not having a sibling?
Yeah, you're missing some good and some bad. I like to tell this story. I was talking to a woman in a kind of a gathering, and there was another bunch of women gathered around, and one of the women was saying how much she adores her sister. Oh, we can't get enough of each other. We just keep laughing and talking. I'm her lifeline. She's my lifeline. And one of the women there said, I always wished I had a sister. I'm an only child, and I always felt bad about that. Well, I thought this sounded so great. I arranged to interview that woman, and she started by telling me she had just gone through a year of not talking to her sister. That's not what the she was putting forth, and that the woman who was an only child was feeling envious of. I wished I could go back and tell her a sister can be the most comforting, most wonderful one word, and she can set you laughing. You share your history. She knows exactly what your parents were like. The person you can call on when anything is wrong, all of these things are the positive side. But then there's also someone who has access to your history and your past and can misrepresent it. She can take your things. She can break them. if she isn't there when you need her, it hurts more than if a friend wasn't there when you needed her. So there are both sides.
You're a linguist, so you must know that there's, and a sister, there must be some sort of language that sisters have with one another that say, a mother and a son wouldn't have, or a brother and a sister wouldn't have.
Yes, and it can vary with different sister pairs. Some sisters tell me that they tease each other, they can fight, they can yell, and then the next day they're friends. Other sisters tell me she knows just where my buttons are in the good and bad way. So one word, and we just crack up, but also one word, and I'm in a tailspin. It wouldn't bother me if anybody else said it. Several women used the word sister speak, and one used it to refer to a kind of private language that she and her sister had. It was almost a kind of baby talk, and that showed that they were kids together and had this shared bond. Another woman used sister speak to mean she and her sister felt they would tell each other the truth when nobody else would. So here's an example, and it's also an example of how there can be different types of sister speak. A woman had lost a lot of weight, and all her friends were telling her how great she looked. And her sister said, you don't look healthy. Your collarbones are sticking out. Well, that was what she was true. That was one of the things that she kind of liked. It could be that kind of sister speak. Only her sister would tell her the truth, that she really didn't look good anymore, losing that much weight. And it could be that her sister just was a little bit envious that she was getting too far ahead and wanted to pull her back. So it could be that kind of sister speak. And I honestly can't say which it was. We often think we know, but that doesn't mean that that's necessarily what was intended. In that case, the sister was convinced that it was the first type of sister speak. She was telling her the truth. Other people hear that anecdote and say to me, oh, she was hostile. And they're sure of it.
What sets the relationship apart, though? I mean, what makes sisters different than, say, brothers and sisters or those other relationships that the families have with one another?
Yeah, in many ways it is the same. And people tell me that when they've read the book, it reminded them a lot of their brothers or other close relationships. But with sisters, there's kind of an intense form because they're both women and they tend to talk more than sisters and brothers or brothers with each other tend to talk, always with exceptions, of course. They tend to talk about more personal things. A woman told me, I can tell my brother almost anything. I can tell my sister absolutely everything. So a little bit of difference there. And women who had sisters and brothers often said that they spent more time on the phone with their sisters. They might call their brothers, but more to make plans. Several people said their brothers keep in touch by email, but they are more likely to send jokes or funny videos, where their sisters keep in touch by email, and it's more what's going on in their lives. So there's a lot of similarities, but also some differences.
So how is understanding sisters beneficial to someone like me, who's an only child and who's male?
Because, well, first of all, most men tell me they have sisters in their lives in the sense that their girlfriends or wives have sisters, and they didn't quite understand what was going on there. Their mothers have sisters, and they watch the relationship there, and so it really helps them to understand what's going on. And just a lot of the universals of human relationships. For example, I say that sisters have to find that right balance between the bond of a close bond, but not to get into the bond of bondage where you're not free because what you do is affecting your sister and she feels you can't do what you want to do. Well, that would be true in any close relationship, and there are many things that do apply that way.
This may seem like a silly question because you have two sisters and you've grown up with two sisters. In the course of writing this book, researching it, interviewing the over 100 women that you've interviewed, did you learn anything new?
I did. I especially got much greater appreciation and understanding of my oldest sister because I'm the youngest, and I have two sisters, one 2 years older and one 8 years older. The one who was 8 years older was often put in the position of taking care of the younger ones and almost like a second mother. And I knew that, and I appreciated it, but I really never stepped back and thought, did she ask for this, or was it assigned? When I asked her, she said it was assigned. She didn't resent it because she got a lot of credit for it, that she was so mature, but she felt like she had nobody mothering her, and that was something I hadn't really thought about. I so often heard older sisters called bossy and judgmental, and I really had to step back there, too, and think why and realize that was expected of them to tell the younger what to do.
You know,
so I really learned a lot there.
You have the photo of your family in the cover inside the book there. And when I first saw it, I must admit, I just thought you had the other sister. I thought it was just two girls because she's standing with your parents, and I don't know why I didn't look there first.
Well, exactly. It's a picture that's very revealing, I think. My mother and father and my oldest sister are all standing, and then on the two chairs in the front are the sister 2 years older and I. So I'm 6 and she's 8 in that picture, and my oldest sister's 14. She looks like another adult, so when you first look at the picture, that's what you can see. Also, they're dressed in dark clothes, and my sister, who is close in age, she and I are wearing pretty little white dresses. We look like twins, and my parents took advantage of that and dressed us the same. I'm younger, but I'm taller, and so I caught up to her in size very quickly. And I think it captures not only the big difference between a sister who is almost like another parent, that you really see that, but also in dressing my other sister and me alike, it brings into focus this question of why so many women I talk to spend so much time telling me that they're different. And my sister 2 years older recalls that I used to like the fact that we were dressed alike. She didn't. Sometimes she would go and change, and then I would change into what she had changed into, and so she would change again. And it really captures how the younger one sometimes wants to be like the older one, and the older one can feel encroached on because of that. She wants to be like herself. And with sisters, you almost, it's you and not you. You almost don't know who you are without thinking who she is. And families and the world are always comparing you. You know, the outgoing one and the shy one, the most unfortunate distinction, the pretty one and the smart one, as if you can't be both. And I think sisters sometimes pick this up. And a woman told me, she graduated number 10 in a class of 200, but she always thought she wasn't smart because her sister graduated number 2.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's the comparison.
You talked about the birth order mattering. My parents are Filipino, so in that culture, from the siblings I've seen, the oldest one, whether it be male or female, it has some sort of special status conferred on them, unlike any other.
Oh, yes, that's very much the case. And I have a number of examples in the book of people from Filipino families that I interviewed, but the same, I think, is true in other traditional cultures as well.
Right.
The oldest gets a lot of respect, but also a lot of responsibility. In many languages, Korean, Chinese, Japanese, I don't know if this is the case in Tagalog or other Philippine families, the oldest is not addressed by name. They're addressed only by older sister, older brother. They will call the younger ones by name, but it doesn't go up. Just like a police officer might call you by name, you don't call them by name. So it's a sign of respect, but also an awful lot of responsibility. And that was very interesting because the people who I talked to who were constantly telling me we're the same, we're different, were all Americans. When I interviewed people from the more traditional cultures, they always talked in terms of relative age. That was how you ordered the family. In fact, I talked to a woman who from a Philippine family, and the oldest one was so used to doing everything that was expected of her. Her younger sister came to her and said, "I have to take this typing test for a job. Would you take it for me?" "Sure," she said. She flunked it. And then they looked at each other, and wait a minute, she wasn't a better typist. She was a worse typist.
Yeah.
But it just seems so natural that the oldest is the one that has to do it all.
In your case, amongst the three sisters that were in your family, were your parents good at not showing favoritism, if there was any?
Well, it depends on who you ask. My parents went to great lengths to not show favoritism and to insist that every one of us has our own place and our own talents. But that can be bad, too. Every family that I talked to, the parents said they didn't have favorites and the kids thought that they did. Sometimes to say someone is a favorite just means you see them getting things that you want. And it could just be that the family situation has changed. We're all born in the same family, but it is a different family when each one is born. And I talked to a woman who told me she always thought her sister was the favorite. Her sister always thought she was the favorite. She said, "How could I be the favorite? They were always mad at me." And her sister said, "Yeah, but they were always paying attention to you. That's all they talked about was you." So even though it was a kind of disapproval, it was still disproportionate attention.
Did you have a sense, though, who your mom's favorite was?
I would say that my two sisters were my mom's favorites at different times in different ways. And my older sister would say I was because I was the difficult one. You know, I was more rebellious. It was the 60s. I also put off getting married, which my mother was driven mad by. My sister's married at 19 and 20, and when I was 23 and unmarried, she was beside herself. So to me, that's being upset and angry and worried about me is not favorite, but my sister does point out it did mean a lot of involvement.
Does the relationship between sisters change when there's no dad or the dad's role is, say, diminished?
I think it can be different in every situation. Any change in situation changes the relationship. I did talk to quite a few women, and I was quite stunned by how frequently I encountered this, where a father had left the family for another woman. Maybe eight of the 100 women I talked to had that situation. And the repercussions were different in each one. Sometimes the older one felt that it was, she just became, one woman said, "When my parents divorced, my childhood ended," that she and her mother became caretakers of the younger. In another case, the youngest was the father's favorite, and so she really lost out. The older one felt she had to be responsible, loyal to the mother, so she lost out too. So there really are all different permutations, but it does change.
In the book, you give advice on how sisters can be closer. What's something that siblings can do to bridge the gap, if you will?
Yeah. Take time to spend just the two of you or three of you, but just sisters, no spouses, no kids, if you could go away for a couple of days, that's great. But if you can't, even just taking a few hours out when the whole family's getting together, remembering to say the positive things. We often think that's taken for granted. But just to say, I'm proud of you. I think what you do at your work is really tremendous. You've done such a great job raising your kids. And that's a really big one, because the sense of disapproval of raising your kids is one of the more more upsetting impressions sisters sometimes give each other. And just realizing that there's more than one way to be a good sister. We often think we know what sisters should be, and when they're not, we're frustrated. One feels you should tell about your problems, the other doesn't. I talked to women who were extremely close but still felt they were not going to tell each other problems. So if you just accept that there are as many ways to be sisters as there are ways to be, you can take advantage of the way your sister is showing her love rather than assume there's only one way, and if she doesn't do it that way, then it means she doesn't love.
Is it more important to become closer as you get older than, say, when you're younger?
I would not make the judgment that it's more or less important at any time, but women tell me that when they get older, they sometimes value their sister's closeness because the memories that they share are greater and farther in the distance, so they become more precious. They have more time to be closer because the kids are grown and they're retired from work, so maybe they didn't even have the time before. And that sense that time isn't limitless. When you're younger, you think, well, you know, I'll call her later. And when you get older, you feel like time isn't limitless. Let's call her now.
What can parents do if they're raising two girls or more than two girls?
Well, of course, parents should always try to make it clear that they love all the kids. If they catch themselves assuming one is okay and you don't have to bother with her, either because the other one is so charming and adorable or because the other one is so troubled, whichever the reason is, try to balance just the amount of time and attention that each one gets. And maybe realize that what parents can do is limited and not feel like it's up to you entirely to get between them in every way.
Are you working on another book now, Deborah?
No. This is only out a couple weeks, so I have not turned to my next project yet, and I haven't decided yet what it will be.
You dedicated this book to your sisters. It's not the first time you've done that. They're obviously a huge part of your life. How did they react to the book?
They're quite pleased with it. When she first heard I was writing about sisters, my oldest sister said, uh-oh. However, I did always show them what I wrote about them, made sure I got it right, make sure they felt okay. And they're commenting now that it's kind of fun because they feel a part of this one. In fact, I realized myself looking back when I decided to dedicate this book to them, and it was really the third I had, that the very first book I ever wrote years and years ago, I dedicated not to my parents, but to my sisters.
Yeah. Well, this has been just a fascinating book, and it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Congratulations on the book. I don't suppose you'll need any luck anymore because it's already a bestseller, but good luck anyway.
Thank you so much. One always needs luck. You've been great to talk to.
Thanks very much. The book is called You Were Always Mom's Favorite, Sisters in Conversation Throughout Their Lives. It's published by Random House. Deborah Tannen on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.